years ago, I had a voracious appetite for the things of God. But I've noticed over the years that I kind of became complacent in some areas of my life. You know, just about learning and striving to grow. In those early days, I couldn't get enough. I pestered a couple of pastors around here. I mean, I'd knock on their door and get them out of bed with questions. I had to know about the Bible. I just had such an appetite for the things of God. Well, God was growing me. He was growing me, and I was expanding in my faith, and I was, it was wonderful. And I remember those days, and I was so hungry for the things of God. But something kind of happens to many of us who've been Christians a long time. We kind of get complacent, and we quit growing. We quit striving. So a few years ago, I really started pushing myself because I knew if God is going to grow a significant life-giving church in this area, then it had to start with me growing spiritually. And one of the reasons that we're pushing this year is to get you in the Bible and get you into Bible study and life groups and those kind of things is so that we can grow. Because if the church is to grow, I have to grow. But let's turn that mirror around. If the church is to grow, then you need to grow too. You don't need to be complacent. Some of you that have been Christians for a long time, it's time to shake yourself. It's time to come alive. It's time to start pushing some things. Okay? You need to push yourself into some disciplines. This is why we're doing the draw the circle. Get you back into prayer. Get the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. It's time for us to start growing. It's time for us individually to grow as believers, to develop our life of faith. So we've been talking about walking out your faith. And so we found out that faith is a noun. That is what it is. It's our worldview. But it's also a verb. Faith by itself won't accomplish anything. It has to be acted upon. It has to be lived out. And it's not just something that you use when you get in trouble. A lot of people use, they say faith. They don't even pray till they need something. Wouldn't that be something that the only time that you communicated with your spouse is when you needed something? Or you communicated the only time when you wanted something, needed something? That's not much of a relationship. And we do God that way sometimes. That we don't even talk to God unless we need something. Well, sometimes we just need to spend time with God just talking to God. Growing in our fellowship with Him. Growing in our relationship. Getting to know Him better. Finding out what He likes, what He loves, what He's like. So that as we do that, then we can become more like Him. So faith is an action word. Faith without works is dead, being alone. I want to read some scripture because today we're going to talk about the old tongue. The old tongue. We're going to talk about that fella. We're going to read in James chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. So it'll be on the screen here. It says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things." We still mess up, don't we? Is anybody here that don't ever mess up? Okay. Praise God. We'll give an altar call in a minute. You can come up. "We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." See, there's a concept here that if we can control the tongue, we can control the whole body. Have you ever started a diet? Lasted for just a little while. And then you quit. Have you ever started working out? Lasted a little while and quit. Start reading the Bible. Maybe some of you have already quit reading your Bible program that you started. You've already quit. I mean, we just don't follow through. But this says that if we can learn to control our words, we can control the whole body. We can control our actions. There's a lot of things that we control. See, today we're going to talk about, this is the takeaway. If you can control your tongue, you can control your life. When your life gets out of control, many times it's because your tongue is out of control. We're going to read on. We'll comment about that in a minute. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest fire a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. You know how the devil controls people's lives? He controls their tongues. He controls their tongues. If he can just get you to speak your mind, if he can just get you to blabbing, can I get a witness anywhere? Okay. It'll change the whole course of nature. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Now there's some illustrations here that I want us to look at. The first thing that it talks about is a horse. I used to raise horses. I had horses. I bred horses. I broke them to ride. I remember one time I bought, it was either a year or 2 year old stud colt. And nobody had ever worked with him. He wasn't even halter broke. You couldn't put him on a halter and lead him. So I thought I could. So we put a halter on him, and I was going to put him in the stall. And the first thing I know, he had backed through a fence, knocked it down, and dragged me through it with him. He was stronger than I was. He's bigger than I was. He weighed about 800 pounds. I weighed probably about 200 pounds at the time. I could not control that horse until I went and got what we call a snatch chain. And so I got the bridle and I looped it through his bridle, put the chain under his chin and hooked it on this side. And then I started to lead him again. He starts that backing and I went, whack. That horse snapped to attention. I never had any more trouble with that horse. I made him obey me. And that horse is kind of like we are. Another thing I learned about horses is that sometimes you can ride a horse, and if they're barn sour, does anybody know what barn sour means? A horse that's barn sour, you'll be riding along, and all of a sudden it'll just turn around and head back to the barn. He wants to go to the barn. He don't want to ride. He don't want to be ridden. He don't want to go down that trail. He wants to go to the barn. Well, we're kind of like that sometimes. We have good intentions. We want to go on that diet. We want disciplines in our life. But sometimes our horse turns and heads to the barn. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies. Lazy takes over. Tired takes over. There's a whole lot of things that our horse takes over our intentions, and it controls us rather than us controlling it. Well, the ideal here is that if we will learn to tame the tongue, we can tame the horse. The second picture here is one of a ship. The ideal is a large ship. This large ship is at sea. The wind is blowing. And the wind and the waves is trying to take the ship wherever it wants to. But a wise captain can take something called a rudder, and he can navigate, even in fierce winds, he can navigate that ship through its course. That ship starts out on a journey. There's a picture here. Our life is like a ship, and we are on a journey. And sometimes the sailing is smooth and easy, but there are other times that the winds blow and the waves get big. And the wind wants to take us a different direction. It tries to get us off course. And if, you know what? If we don't have control of the rudder, we have no control of the ship. But if we can learn to keep hold of the rudder and control the rudder, a wise captain can navigate even when times are difficult. That's a picture of what our lives look like. The third thing that it talks about is a forest fire that gets out of control. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. You know, we've had instances where people driving down the road flicks a cigarette butt out, and it starts a fire that burns several million acres before they can get it out. The ideal is that a forest fire gets out of control. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you spoke words and before you knew it, things were out of control? Maybe there were words of strife or some other kind of thing, and there were feelings hurt, and there was all kinds of things going on. And that thing got so huge that you lost control of it. And it all started with a single word. Then it talks about taming wild beasts. I think about a lion, how the tamer can take a chair and a whip and train a lion. And then it talks about birds. You know, we can teach birds how to talk, but we can't tame our tongues. And then it talks about reptiles, how people can take lizards and snakes and train them. And then creatures of the sea. You know, if you go to Disney World, they have the dolphins and the whales, and you know, they train them to do certain tricks and things, and we're able to do that, but we have a whole lot of difficulty with something called the tongue. It's a little member, but it boasts great things. It's something that if we lose control of, that it causes us much, much trouble. Now, it's kind of interesting that next week we're going to be talking about praying the prayer of faith, how to release faith. But it's kind of interesting that James, before he got to that, he's talking about the power of the tongue and controlling the tongue and the problem that we have sometimes with the tongue. I don't know about you, but sometimes my tongue gets away from me. Does anybody else have that problem? Yeah, if you're honest, I think a lot of us do. Have you ever said something that you wish you could took it back? I mean, I've gone, bloop, bloop, whoop. It didn't work. There are times that I'll start to say something and the Holy Spirit will quicken my heart and I'll stop. And the Holy Spirit's basically saying, shut your mouth. Sometimes that's wisdom. Just shut your mouth. You might start a fire. Then it shows two pictures here that shows us principles. One is a spring. And it says it's not possible for a spring to bring forth good water and bitter water. He says, but you know, we have a tendency with the same mouth to praise God and praise Jesus and talk ugly about our fellow man. I love something somebody said. They're here, so I better not point Wes out. Paige said something one time. He said, Is that the same mouth you praise Jesus with? I thought that's good. That's wisdom. And sometimes we do that. We'll say things and you ought to just look at him and say, is that the same mouth you praise Jesus with? It says that A spring does not bring forth good and bitter water. It brings one or the other. And it says, here we are trying to live the life of faith. And out of our spring, which is our heart and our mouth, is coming blessing and cursing. And then we wonder why faith don't work. Faith works. I said faith works. But it don't work like that. It don't work like that. And then the last thing it said, it talks about a fruit tree. And he says, you know what? He didn't use apple. But he says an apple tree don't bring forth peaches. Apples produce apples. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we're trying to get a result with a different kind of tree. So there's a principle here that has to do with seed time and harvest and sowing and reaping, which has a lot to do with faith. It has a lot to do with the words of our mouth and also the spring. So what do we need to do? We need to purify the spring. We need to make sure that we've got the right kind of fruit in our lives. How do we do that? I want to share some more verses with you. And there's going to be several. If you want to write these down, go back and study them later. Proverbs chapter 18. These are words about the tongue. Death and life, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, with your mouth, you either speak life or death. Life or death. Well, what do we need to be speaking? Life. What happens when we speak death? What do we get? We get death. An apple tree don't bring forth peaches. Apples bring forth apples. Peaches bring forth peaches. Learn what is life and what is death. Then Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. You know, a lot of our troubles are self-induced. And they go back to the words of our mouth that we choose. We're speaking death. We're speaking strife. We're speaking all of these other things. And we're expecting something good. And we have trouble. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. Anybody ever got stuck with words that hurt? You know that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me? That's a lie. Sticks and stones, you get hit with a stick, you can get over it. Words are a little bit harder to get over, aren't they? There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Now, let me point out something here. See, we've asked you to pray for these people on your cards. We've asked you to encourage them. See, many of those are walking in death. They may have difficulties in their life. They don't need you speaking death to them. The words of your mouth, if you are encouraging them, I'm not talking about preaching to them, I'm talking about encouraging them, can promote health for them, spiritual health. We're trying to bring people out of darkness into light. And it's a process. And a lot of it will have to do with the way that you treat people, the things that you do towards them. Encouragement is a great thing. There's not a lot of encouragement out there. And I'll tell you, a lot of us beat ourselves up. A lot of people are beating themselves up all the time. And if you beat them up with your words, you're not going to take them in the right direction. But if you'll wisely try to encourage those people, you might be amazed at what the Holy Spirit can do in their lives to bring healing to them. Have you ever been nagged at? Anybody like to be nagged at? Nagging don't bring you in the right direction, does it? No, but encouragement does. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. What kind of fruit do we want to produce? life. We want to be a tree of life. Well, a wholesome tongue will make you a tree of life. But perverseness in the tongue, it breaks the spirit. See, I'm convinced that a lot of disease, physical disease, starts as a spiritual breach in our lives. It starts as a spiritual breach in our life. And a lot of that has to do with the way that we talk, the way that, people talk to us and we talk to ourselves. And we don't realize the power that's in the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, when we think of that, sometimes we think, well, we're just speaking life to other people. Sometimes you got to talk life to yourself. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. You got to speak life to yourself, especially if you're knee-deep in death. 1 Peter 3:10. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. See, as you're encouraging these people that you're praying for, you know what you're imparting to them? Grace, favor. Speak favor to them. You'll be surprised at how people respond to positive. Now, you may or may not like Joel Osteen. I don't really care one way or the other. But you know why one of the reasons he's so popular? He is so positive, and he is so encouraging to people. Wow, he don't preach the gospel. Let me tell you a little story. I did a funeral last year of an 80-something-year-old woman. And the testimony that came forth from her funeral was this. She loved Joel Osteen. One night or day, she was watching him. And as she was listening, the Holy Spirit came on her, convicted her of her sin. She began to weep and cry. She got born again watching Joel Osteen. She called her daughters and said, I have been saved. I want you to know that I have been thoroughly saved watching Joel Osteen. Well, I don't know. He just doesn't preach the gospel. That woman got saved by not hearing the gospel then. No. He preached the gospel. See, some people think that unless you're just beating people up, you're not preaching the gospel. The last time I checked, the gospel is good news. The word gospel means good news. Now, are we against sin? Absolutely. Again it. Why? It'll kill you. Sin will kill you. You can't put up with it in your life. Do we need to repent? Yes, we need to repent. But you know what? We need to be speaking life. We need to be speaking life to people. We need to be using our tongues as instruments of grace to the hearer. So as you do good deeds to those people this week, as you encourage them, know that God is using you as an instrument of His grace. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Can I just say it another way? Christians who don't control their tongue have no effect. Their witness is useless. I've been around a lot of Christians that way. I don't want to be one of those. Do you? I don't want to be that way. I want to frame my words with wisdom so that I can direct the course of my life, so that I can be a person of grace, so that I can be a person of encouragement, so that I can be a positive person and bless people. And I think we all need to strive to do that. I want to tell you a story. How do we control our tongue? How do we control our life? Years ago, as a kid, I don't know how I got this way, but I think a lot of people suffer with this. I had a big case of inferiority complex. When I was a teenager, when I was eighth grade, I weighed 100 pounds with my pads on. I played junior football. And I weighed 100 pounds with my pads on. I was playing against guys who weighed 200 pounds. How many of you know that when 100 collides with 200, 100 falls down and gets hurt? Okay? The girls were bigger than me. It's hard to be Romeo when you're looking up at a girl. I just had an inferiority complex. I didn't feel like I was as good as other people. Can anybody witness to that? I mean, you know, well, I'm too big, or I'm too little, or I'm too skinny, or I'm too fat, or I'm too... I mean, I think it's a human thing that a lot of people struggle with. Well, I struggle with it. I can remember walking down Main Street here in Batesville and seeing one of my classmates. And I would walk to the other side of the street so that I didn't have to talk to them because I didn't feel like I was as good as they are. Well, if I'm called to preach, I've got some stuff I've got to overcome, don't you think? Well, when I begin to hear the message of faith and I struggle with this. I knew that I was called to preach, but I knew I couldn't get up and talk to people. I couldn't do it. I just wasn't good enough. But I found some promises in the Word of God, and this is how you develop your faith. This is how you grow in your faith. See, I was sailing my ship in troubled waters. I had a troubled heart. I was troubled because I wasn't as good as anybody else. I didn't know that most everybody else felt the same way. But I found some promises in the Word of God. And what I began to do, see, here's a principle. Your mouth will follow your heart, and your heart will follow your mouth. It's a cyclical, a circle principle. We speak out of our heart. But if you want to change your heart, you need to change what you say. Because you hear what you say. Okay? Now, this is the development of faith has to do with the Word of God. I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm not talking about some principle that's not biblical. This is one of the principles of faith. The heart believes, the mouth says. Well, sometimes we have to get something in our heart. Well, we hear it, but then we say it, and then we hear it, and then we say it, and then we hear it, and it begins to reprogram the inside of us. It begins to, the Word of God upon the heart, hearing yourself say the Word of God will transform your heart. That's the principle. So I found some Bible verses that I began to say. Now, I must be honest, when I first began to say them, I knew that they were true. I knew that they were true for you, but I just didn't know if they were true for me because I wasn't feeling it. Did you get that? I wasn't feeling it. The first one I found was, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's a good verse, isn't it? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's going to give me the perspective that he is the one that's the answer. The greater one lives on the inside of me. And then, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. He loved me. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. And the last one was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I begin to make this my prayer. Father God, I thank you that in the name of Jesus, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Therefore, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can preach the gospel. I can do the thing that you've called me to do. And that became the words of my mouth. I began to craft the words of my mouth. Now, did I believe it? I believed it for you, but I didn't believe it for me. I wasn't feeling it. It wasn't a reality to me. But you know, I knew enough about the heart and the mouth and the mouth and the heart that I just kept saying it. Now, I didn't just make up something. It's based on the Word of God. And I said it over and over. I said it every day. I said it week after week, week after week, month after month. I said it for a couple years. And you know, as I began to do that, my heart began to change. My ship began to get on course. I wasn't driven by the fierceness of the winds that blew against my mind and says that you're a nobody. I wasn't driven by the ways that said that you'll never amount to anything. I'm able to do what I do today because of those confessions of faith that I made years ago when I really didn't see them as a reality in my life. I have no trouble whatsoever standing before you speaking. I don't get nervous. I don't get butterflies. You know why? Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I could speak to a million people. It wouldn't bother me. Wouldn't bother me. Why? You'll say it again. Greater is He that's in me. That's just become a reality in my heart. And I began to, my self-esteem in Christ began to rise. It began to shape my mind and my heart. And you know, there's different levels of that I've grown through the years. And it brought me into places of influence in certain arenas. And it's still doing that. It's still working in me. See, I've come to realize that it's not about me anyway. It's about Him. That's the thing that the Word of God will take you to. It doesn't make me a great person. I'm not a great person. I'm a regular person. But I got one that's greater that lives in me. And He's greater than anybody or anything that's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. And because of that, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. There are times I get up here and I think, dear God, I don't know if I got this together or not. There are times that I get up here and think I do awful. Somebody will walk up and say, man, you spoke to my heart today. And I'm thinking, dear God. It's about God. It's not about me. But it began to renew my mind. But I had to stop saying what I felt. Can I say something to you? Your feelings don't always reflect reality. I feel like a failure. That doesn't always reflect reality. When you begin to verbalize it, you'll either rise or fall to that level of your words. That's a fact. You'll rise or fall to the levels of the words of your mouth. I know you can get ridiculous with that. But if you don't like where you are, you don't like what's happening in your life, go to the Bible. It's full of promises. It's full of promises. The Holy Spirit will guide you through this as you begin to say what God says about you. What God says about you is more important than what you say or think about yourself. Somebody need to hear that? His opinion is greater than your opinion. His opinion is greater than your opinion of yourself. Ooh. I wish I could unscrew your head, take this and pour it in there. This stuff works. I learned this message of faith years ago, and I know some people have gone crazy with it, but I'm not talking about the crazy stuff. I'm talking about the thing that will transform the heart. That's what we're after, transformed hearts. We're about growing in Christ. It's time that Christians quit being afraid to obey God. Well, I'm afraid of what they might think. Are those words of life or death? Does that sound like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? See, what we're really saying, I'm afraid what they might think of me. Then I'm making it about me. I'm not the important thing in this equation. Christ is the important thing in this equation. And He can take a yielded life and use it for His glory. Amen. Okay. We're going to talk about the prayer of faith next week. Hope you come. Bring somebody with you. Let's stand. I want to pray over you today. Did you get anything out of that? Whew, good. You know, I don't always say this. I mean, I have the same outline, but it don't always come out the same both services. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will kind of direct in a little bit different angle. See, I want to be obedient to His voice and say the things that needs to be said. But I know that beyond what I say to you, the Holy Spirit's talking to you. And the question is, what did He say to you today? And what course corrections do you need to make with your mouth to change the things in your life that needs to be changed? That's what we want to pray over today. Holy Spirit, thank You that You're present in this place today. Thank You for Your direction. Thank You for taking my mouth and speaking Your words. And thank You for what You said to people beyond what I said. Lord God, may we be brave enough to be obedient to these things. Help us to frame our words that we may be people of grace and people that glorify You. Lord God, above all, we want to reflect You and we want to be instruments that causes people to want to know You. We thank You. We praise You today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, be sure to go buy and get your books.